is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And holy his people should be. His people should be in his image. Be ye holy as I am holy. Hallelujah. You'll never surpass him, but you should try to catch up to him. Hallelujah. Paul said, I haven't apprehended the thing that I'm supposed to, but I'm after it. I'm after it. I'm chasing it. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Anybody ever heard of the name Ariel Elaine? Okay. Last name Abshire. Mother Melanie, formerly Baggett. Thank the Lord. We're thankful for Ariel Elaine. Melanie texted her mother on the way over here. You moms and dads can respect this. Text her mom on the way over here and said, when y'all get out of church, could you come babysit so we can sleep? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. They're paying them back. Thank you, Jesus. Get her, Ariel Elaine. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was just thinking, I want people to get the Holy Ghost. Good to see you this morning. So good to see you. I want people to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Don't you? I tell you, that's babies born into the kingdom of God. Just as excited. But you know, you can't have babies born without travailing. And you know what? Not only was Melanie travailing, her daddy and mama was travailing. When Zion travails, yeah, that's right, everybody travails, then sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. If you're not willing to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and pray, it's not going to happen. If you're not willing to work with your children and teach them the ways of righteousness, it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. And I want kids to get the Holy Ghost. Y'all boys, move over here where I can see y'all. I might want to preach to some of y'all this morning. Thank the Lord. Good-looking boys there, the five musketeers. Hallelujah. So anyway, I'm wanting people to get the Holy Ghost. I'm in Bible study right here. I want y'all filled with the Holy Ghost. Talk to the LaBeaus. I want y'all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One person told me, said, sitting right back here, they said, they come to church and said, I don't need the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven. I said, sir, do you know what the Holy Ghost is? He said, well, it's the Spirit of God. I said, are you telling me you don't have the Spirit of God to go to heaven? Come on. He saves us by his Spirit. He sent back the Comforter called the Holy Ghost that it might abide in you. So when he comes back, he takes you. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you parents. I wanted to really talk to the kids before they left. I just didn't have the opportunity. But I want you parents to prep your kids. You know what prep is? You get ready to go surgery, they prep you. They scrub you. They clean up. And they get ready so when the surgery's done, it's a good surgery. It's successful. And you need to prep your kids. Prep them. Teach them how to repent. Teach them how to say, I'm sorry, Jesus. Tell them how God died, sent forth his son, and he died for our sins. Prep them so when God enters into their heart, they're ready to receive him. Hallelujah. You can't just receive this any old way. You need to teach your children how to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus prepped them, the 120. He prepped them. He didn't just say, go about your business and one day it'll fall on you like a skyrocket to fall. No, he said, go and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Pray until it comes. It's coming. Just wait on it. Hallelujah. We need to prep our kids and get them ready. Next Sunday, the reason I'm saying this is because next Sunday, Brother Moore from Bridge City will be preaching. All the kids are staying in. Moms and dads, prep your kids. Get them ready for next Sunday. If they're upstairs, they're staying down. I want the parents behind the kids. Are you hearing me? I want parents behind kids praying with them that they would get the Holy Ghost. Prep your kids this week that they might get ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's turn to Jude. Jude 1 and 18. The Lord. Jude wrote one book. Powerful little book. He says, how that they told you there should be mockers. Has anybody ever been mocked before? Absolutely, and perhaps you've done the same. There should be mockers in the, you know, if nobody's mocking you, something's wrong. It's always been that the Christians were mocked. Was it not Ishmael that mocked Isaac and got mama so mad that she said, kick her out, Hagar and her son? He said, don't be surprised. There should be some mockers. If nobody's mocking you, mimicking you, making fun of you, calling you a Jesus jumper, a holy roller, and all that, something's wrong. Right. Tongue talker, whatever, something's wrong. You fit in too much with them. Boy, this is a good sermon already. There should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. There are people mocking is an attack. It's mimicry. It's an attack to discourage you and to tear you down. When people mock you, they're trying to tear you down to their level. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, meaning pertaining to, having not the Spirit. They act like they have the Spirit. They act sensual, but they separate themselves from you, mock you, and they don't want to be classified with you. They don't have the Spirit. But ye, say me, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Boy, I tell you, there's some people need to be here this morning to hear this. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, I like that. He can keep me from falling. And to present you faultless. Thank the Lord for his mercy that can make up the difference. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased. To the only wise God, our Father, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the church say, amen. I want to talk about this building yourself up, keeping yourself, things you can do yourself. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Amen. Lord, I come before you this Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful, Lord. Hallelujah. To have the freedom to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, I know your spirit will not always strive with man. The book says that, but today you still are, and I'm thankful that you are. Lord, I'm asking you to heal and to save people, fill them full of your spirit that they might be ready for your second coming in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Do it yourself. I have a side thought this morning that I'd like to... How many ever had blood drawn on you before? Just about it. Who hasn't? Let me see. Who hasn't? Brother, they didn't. They probably, when you were born, they probably pricked you a little bit. But most everybody's had blood drawn on them. If you've ever had a physical, you've had blood drawn on you. Because if they want to know the condition of your body, they're going to look at the blood. They're going to look at the blood. They're not going to say how you feel. They're going to look at the blood. And then when they tell you something's out of whack, you start feeling bad. You was feeling good till they told you that. Now you're feeling bad. But what I want to say is that, you see, if you've ever had blood drawn and that person doesn't know what they're doing, how many of you ever been there? And they, let me try it again. And I'm like, one more time, let's call for headquarters. Please get me somebody that knows what they're doing, please. I don't know if you're a student or what, but practice on a monkey. Don't practice on me. And if the person doesn't know what they're doing, they'll leave you full of bruises and never hit the vein. Whew. But if they know what they're doing, are you done already? If they know what they're doing, they know how to hit the vein and not leave you full of bruises. If you want the life-giving substance, you got to hit the vein. If you want to get anything out of church, you got to hit the vein. If you want to hit oil, you can go, they hit it here and you go 100 yards over there and drill the same hole and not hit it because you're not in the vein. They say gold runs through the vein, blood runs through the vein. And I'm here to tell you this is a good vein. The house of God is a great place to get in tune with God and get in harmony with God. Hallelujah. You got to hit the vein. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to sit there and chit-chat with each other and you're going to sit there and file your fingernails and text somebody and all this, you're going to leave with bruises. You're going to leave with bruises. You got to hit the vein to get anything out of worship, to get anything out of church. You've got to tap into the vein. Hallelujah. I didn't come to church to play church. I didn't come to visit with you. I can't. We'll visit after. We'll have potluck. That's fine. But right now, I want something out of the vein. I want something life-giving. I want something life-supporting. I want something that's going to change my life when I walk out of here. Hallelujah, and that's not even my sermon. Do it yourself. There was a day before the turn of the 21st century when people didn't have money. And as poor as you think you are today, if you're poor, it's probably because you overspent. But everybody's got money that lives around here to some degree, some more or less than others. But there was a day where you didn't have the money to hire somebody to do what you could do yourself. But we've reached a day where we got enough money to hire other people to do the very things that we can do ourselves. And now, if you have the money, honey, then you can get someone else to spend their time. Even if you could do it yourself. And I know people say, well, that's not me. I do everything myself. You ever ate at McDonald's? I guess you walk every place you go. Yeah, see, we do things. You may do some things yourself, but you don't do everything yourself. You don't raise your own beef. You don't raise your own peas. You don't raise, you raise a few cucumbers and tomatoes. But you do that because you want to do it. You do it yourself. Not that you can't afford tomatoes, it's that you have a pride and a joy in doing it yourself. My. And see, the problem with always getting someone else to do these things for you is you lose your self-worth. You hear me this morning? You lose your self-worth. Many people have no personal pride, if you will, in the things that they do. They just want a paycheck. Let me tell you young men something. As you grow up and you start mowing lawns for somebody else or you start weed eating or whatever you're going to do, take a pride in what you do. Because if you do anything for just a paycheck, you'll get weary with doing it. If I was here for a paycheck, I'd have been weary a long time ago. I'd have been weary before I got here. But I'm doing it because I have a personal self-respect for myself and the God that made me, hallelujah, and the ability that he gave me, that I want to use it to the greatest extent that I can do it, hallelujah, so I can look back and say, thank you, Jesus, with your help, this is working. Hallelujah. For many years, I did my own landscape and I did my own yard work, and still to this day, a lot of it that I still do myself. And some of it's not fun, especially weed eating my dog pen. But anyway, I do everything that I can do that I feel like I don't want anybody intruding in on me. That's my backyard. And the reason, like yesterday, I didn't know it was 100 degrees yesterday. But I was out all day yesterday. All day yesterday. I was cutting limbs and sawing limbs and clipping limbs. I was spraying Roundup on things I didn't want to weed eat, and I was weed eating other things. I was it was hot. And you go by my yard, there's a row of stuff stacked up for the city to pick up. The reason I'm doing that is not because I can't afford it. It's because I can't find anybody that has a pride and a praise about what they do. I've hired people and they have no joy in what they do. They have no pride in what they do. They have no praise about what they do. So I said, I'll just do it myself. The appraised value has got to be more than a paycheck. It's got to be more than where's my money. If you ever got an appraisal done, it is to assess the positive value of something. That's what an appraisal is. Let's find out what it's worth. I don't mind paying you more if you just do the job. Appraise. And Brother Valentine, you took almost all my good points away this morning. I need to do the lesson first. Appraise is an act of making positive statements about something or somebody. And we give God praise when we say, Lord, you're holy. God, Lord, you're righteous. Lord, you're in mercy and yours for all. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. Praise. It's like I said in the prayer room this morning, that when you tell someone I love you is the highest praise you can give anybody. I need you and I love you. I don't want to be without you. That is to praise them. That's what I tell God. I need you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I can't do without you, Lord. And when I begin to praise him, it builds me up too. When you build him up, it builds you up too. Hallelujah. The fault that the Pharisees had was that they praised their praise. Yeah, they took pride in their praise and their ability for these long praises that they could give God on the street corner. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, the highest praise is not on the street corner, it's in the closet. Shut the door and open your mouth and praise me there. And the God that sees in secret will reward you everywhere. Everybody's going to know you're praying and got faith if you'll just shut the closet and then open your mouth. Oh, my God. And today people praise their paycheck more than they praise their work. You know, when I got through, brother, I'm going to have to tell you the truth. I'm going to have to tell you the truth. I got through with that. I got in my car, and this morning evening, I'm driving off. I look back and, that looks pretty good. If I have to say so. If I have to say so. Because I'm not waiting on you to praise me. I'm not waiting on the neighbor to praise me. I'm not waiting on Martha Stewart to praise me. Hallelujah. I'm not waiting on you to praise me. You to praise me. I just praised myself. I said, oh, thank the Lord. That looks so good whether you like it or not. I do. I do. I like it. Some people get their exercise, they go down the road like this. That's good. They're pounding away, but not me. I'm... That's better exercise. Yeah, you get you a weed eater, you'll find out how good exercise that is. Hallelujah. Exercise machine. And so even when we look at our God, he praised himself. Oh, my God, he praised himself. He made, when you look at how God created the earth in the first day, he said, let there be light, and there the light day, and he called the night darkness, and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and he said, when there was no one else to praise him, he said, I'll just praise myself. And he backed up and said, it is good. Hallelujah. I don't care what Lucifer thinks. I don't care what Michael thinks. I don't care what dear Abby thinks. It doesn't matter. I just praise myself. Why? Because I need to build myself up. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about getting off the floor and getting your lip up and getting your chin up and getting your head up and start praising yourself. You're better than you think you are. Quit running yourself down and praise yourself and lift yourself up. If nobody else likes you, big deal. Praise yourself. Hallelujah. Woo. I did that yesterday. I wasn't after a paycheck. I didn't write myself out a check and say, here you go. I didn't need that. My payment was my praise. My payment was looking back and saying, that looks wonderful today. Hallelujah. Thank God. I thank God I was still able at 37 to do all of that. Praise the Lord. And I'm not hush. I'm not waiting for anybody to praise me. If you want to drive by and praise me, that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine too, because I've already built myself up. Hallelujah. And oh, I got some good things. I got some good stuff to tell you this morning. Because praise is what you build others up with and what you build yourself up with. We're too busy running people down, trying to bring them down to your little level. But if you really want to help yourself, help somebody else. Because when you begin to praise them, it lifts you up too. And again, in the prayer room, when Isaiah got a vision of the Lord, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And he was high and lifted up. And when I saw him, it lifted me up, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who can go for me? Lord, purge me of my sins and my iniquities and send me out into the field. It lifted me up when I lifted him up. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it yourself. There were at one time no books called Gardening for Stupids or Dummies or whatever it is. I might start another series, call it Gardening for Stupids. I don't know. There were no books. You learned it by experience. And your kids will learn how to live for God, praise God, worship God by experience. You don't want them to have to get a book, How to Praise God, 10 Steps to Praising God, 5 Steps to Worshiping God. They don't need that. They need you. They need you. You teach them, they'll learn. I'm telling you, kids are masters at learning from observation more than what you say. They're going to follow what you do and not what you say. Oh, Lord. But the Bible is the best do-it-yourself book that I've ever read. Because hell can't stop what you do yourself. The job can't stop what you do. The teacher, the preacher, the pastor, and all your exes that live in Texas, nobody can stop when you do it yourself. Nobody can stop when you do it yourself. I do it myself. You ever worked with somebody? You ever worked with somebody that, I mean, Melanie's not here so I can pick on her, so y'all don't tell her. She's newborn, you know, mother and all. But when she was little, she would always, Melanie, let me help you with that. I can do it. No, Melanie, you're not going to do it. I can do it. Then I'd say, okay, do it yourself. And before long, Daddy, could you? Hallelujah. And then once I taught her, she could do it herself. And in this book called The Bible, if you will learn to pray, you can't live off of grandma's prayers. You have to do it yourself. You can't live off of somebody else's fasting. You have to do it yourself. You know what? This is just a place I try to, this should be the surface of what you get coming to church. The surface of what you get. The surface of what you read in the Word of God. The majority should be done in your home. And I'm just scratching, I'm just polishing it. That's all I'm doing. The problem is people wanting this to be all the food and all the manna and everything they get right here. And me raise your kids and the church raise your kids. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it yourself. When you build yourself up, nobody can take you back down. And Jude said these mockers would come walking after their own ungodly lusts, but they're just wind. They're just wind. They just blow. And all they're trying to do is to tear you down. But I've learned a long time ago, if I let you build me up, now listen carefully, young folks, if I let you build me up, then you can take me down. I've learned a long time ago that eventually props flop. You know what a prop is? Something to hold it up, make it look like it's working, make it look. But eventually, the prop will flop. It doesn't matter what Uncle Johnny did, Aunt Sally. I'll tell all of you, if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. I watched one kid that was in high school with me. They were broker than Tudor Brown. I guess that's okay. No, that's drunker than Tudor Brown. But he was broke from drinking. They were broke. I'm telling you, they didn't have anything. Made an anesthesiologist. If you'd have gave him his chances, you'd have said he'd never do it. But he did it himself. He worked hard. I'm telling you, that guy, he worked at Kmart as a security guard. I remember I didn't have to do that, and I thank God, but I'd go in there and just visit with him. He'd say, "Welcome to Kmart." But he was on his way to a mission. He got loans and grants and whatever he could. And he did it himself. Now, nobody can take that away from him. And when you finally learn to live for God because you did it yourself, I want to do it. I want to live it. I want to be somebody in God. Then nobody can take away what you do for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to build ourselves up, he said, on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. No one can have faith for you. No one can really, "I'll be praying for you." Don't count on it. "We'll be praying for you." "Oh, don't give me that. You ain't help them, Jesus." That's all you're going to do. You have to pray your